Welcome to the weekly webcast. Each week these messages are brought to you with practical help for daily living from our teacher and pastor, John S. Terrell. Our hope is that you will be encouraged and challenged by this message and that you share it with a friend. This morning, Pastor John begins a new series entitled, The Sin Nature of Mankind. The origin of sin has been debated for centuries. Some say it began when Adam and Eve disobeyed God and ate the forbidden fruit. But what about the serpent that allowed the devil to use his body to entice them? Well, it is necessary to go back even further before the creation of humanity. You see, Lucifer was created as a beautiful angel, and there was no evil initially present in him. However, the goodness in him was replaced with anger and hate towards God, and Lucifer chose to become evil. The other angels that opted to join his rebellion also became spiritually corrupted. Following Adam and Eve's expulsion from the Garden of Eden, it did not take long for the sin nature to manifest itself when Cain killed his brother, and the rest is history. This message is entitled, The Origin of Sin. Now, let's join Pastor John as he begins today's message.
Welcome to Resurrection Life of Jesus Church Worldwide, and I'm very happy to have you here today. As we finished last week, the book of Romans, and I have a new message today. We're going to be talking about the origin of sin. Where does sin come from? So let's pray right now. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you and praise you right now that you will open up our understanding, that your Holy Spirit will minister to us today. So that, Father God, we can know your will for our lives, and we can know who we are, and what motivates us, and what does not motivate us. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. We're going to start in Genesis chapter 2. That is Genesis, the second chapter. And where did sin originate? Did it just appear? Where does it come from? We want to trace it down in the Bible today. We're reading Genesis chapter 2, verses number 16 and 17. And the Lord commanded a man, saying, Of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but the tree of knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat of it. For in a day that you eat thereof, you shall surely die. When God created Adam, he created him with a physical body, a soul, and a spirit. When he created Eve, she got the same thing, a body, a soul, and a spirit. They were sinless. They were perfect, and they had a free will. Why does God create people with a free will? What's the purpose of that? The Bible simply tells us this, that God does want us to come to him because we want to. A free will is dangerous. A free will is wonderful, but a free will means that you and I have to make a choice. Are we going to receive Christ, or are we going to live our own personal lives? For people born in families that are not Christians, they never read the Bible, they never heard about the Bible, they go to public schools, and, of course, they don't talk about God in public schools. So they have no knowledge, and they simply grow up with no knowledge of the Lord, and they are making choices. And I want you to understand this now. If you do not have information, you cannot make a good decision. You need to have good information in order to make a good decision. in warfare, every nation is using it. It's called deception. And you have intelligence services. Most people think that intelligence services are people walking around spying. There's only a few people doing that. The majority of people in intelligence service are there to provide disinformation. You don't want the enemy to know how many troops you got, where they're going to go, what kind of weapons you have, what kind of plans you have. So there's a constant disinformation being put out all the time. The United States does it, Russia does it, China does it, everybody does it. And let me just share one incident with you of the greatest disinformation that we've had in the later years. This goes back to 1943. And the United States and England, Canada, were planning a big invasion in France. The German knew that there was an invasion coming, but they did not know where would they land. And so the Allied command simply said this: we need to have some really good disinformation. So here's a plan they thought up. They had a man that had died, and instead of burying him, they put him in a condition where the body was preserved. They dressed him in a uniform. They had an attaché sheet or a handbag, not a handbag, but they had a briefcase that was wrapped with a chain. And they gave him a name, and then they put him in a submarine. And the submarine took him out, and about 2-3 miles out of the French coast, the submarine surfaced. They took this guy, they put him in the water, knowing that the stream would bring him in to the beach. And sure enough, here he came floating in. As the German thought, an aircraft had crashed, and the papers said on this man, he was going to fly from England to Spain to discuss the invasion and to let the Spanish government know where the invasion was going to take place. So when the Germans found that, and they opened up the briefcase and said, man, this is the bonanza. Now we know where the invasion is. And so they accepted the disinformation, and they moved 15 divisions of the best German troops to a place in the southern part of France, on the coast. And they said, we are ready. Well, the invasion took place further north, and it took them about a week or 2 weeks to bring up these divisions to meet the invasion. By that time, the Americans, the Canadians, the British were already not on the beach, they were already inland. Disinformation. Satan has a religious department. And every religion in the world originates in his religious department. If you look upon Buddhism, that is a demonic religion. Actually, these are fallen angels that are doing this, not demons, but fallen angels. Fallen angels are higher up. And of course, they designed Hinduism. They did communism. Anything on this earth that is opposite to God was created with the purpose of disinformation. Reincarnation. Well, you know, a lot of Americans now believe in reincarnation, New Age, simply saying this, well, you know, there is karma, you know, if we do good, we have come back, you know, nice. If we are bad, we come back in a bad situation. I might be a frog in the next life, or a mosquito, or maybe I come back, if I'm good, you know, I'll be something else. And so, this is disinformation. And you have people that are educated believing that. And they die and find out, I'm in hell. There is no reincarnation. So disinformation is a powerful weapon that the devil has at his disposal. So we're going to look upon now the first deception that Satan did. You find that in Genesis chapter 3. And we're going to read the first 13 verses here. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field, which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, yea, has God said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden. Let me just put in a side note here. You don't find that Eve freaked out and said, wow, this snake can talk. Animals had communicated. They could talk prior to the fall. That's a conclusion we can draw. So there's this snake rolling up, and she doesn't know that this is not a real snake. It's a snake possessed by Satan. She doesn't know that. So the snake rolls up and say, hey, you know, has God really told you that? And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the tree, of the fruit of the trees of the garden. But of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. So this was the information she had. This is what God has said, eat of that, you die. So she had information. Look at all the disinformation coming in now. And the serpent said unto the woman, you shall not surely die. Well, was that truth? Well, there was a half-truth. For God does know that in the day you eat thereof, then your eyes shall be open. You shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. He put a bait out there. Hey, you're not going to die. But if you eat of that tree, or that fruit, you're going to be like God. You're going to know between good and evil. Let's slow down now. Eve did not know what evil was. It's just like you take a child, let's say 4 or 5 years old, and most of them do not know, if they come from a Christian home, they do not know how reproduction is done, how babies come into being. There's a lot of things they don't know. And if they've been shielded from television and so on, they really don't know what evil is. So I want you to see the framework here and there. All Eve knew was goodness. She could not conceive that somebody was lying. She didn't know what lying was. She and Adam talked every day. They met with Jesus every night. And it was truth, truth, truth. So she was puzzled. What was her mistake? God had told them earlier that Adam was going to be her covering. He was going to be the head of the family. And when this snake began to talk, she sort of said, but you know, I don't want to have this discussion here. Let me get my husband and you talk to him. He's the head of the household. But he was not there. That's how the mistake was. Now you had the deception. You will not die. How bad, how powerful is Satan? Satan is so powerful, that's the only weapon he has, is deception. That he can convince you a lie and simply make you believe it is truth. One third of the angels, he traveled in the universe to every civilization up there and made his speech just like you run for an office. And he was so convincing that one third of the angels said, this is truth. Remember now, they knew no evil. They were all good. The woman there took the information in, and she began to process it. She looked at the tree. That's a nice-looking fruit. Probably tastes good. And she said this, and the woman saw the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise. Is that the way sin comes in? It's pleasant to the eyes. It's appealing to your emotions. It looks great. There's something I want to have. You know? It's really something I want to have. Look upon the advertisement on television. Every night, if you watch the news, particularly, and the people that watch the news at night are people in the age of about 80 down to maybe about 40. But most of them are older. Young people don't watch it. So how can you know the audience? Look at the commercials. You don't see any commercial for young people. You see, this pill will make you sexually strong. You know, this will do this or that, you know, and if you got this, you can't walk, you know, you take this pill, you know, and then you can run and walk and so on. You can tell the audience. But at the end of a commercial, you will hear them say, and these are the side effects, those are the side effects. And if you do experience nausea, you know, or faint and so on, call your doctor. Buy this pill. Tell your doctors what you want. That is deception, disinformation. So she simply said this. She took the fruit thereof, did eat, and gave also to her husband with her, and he did eat. Now Adam was not too smart. He didn't know any evil. He came over. And he should have said, now, Eve, what did you do? Didn't God say, don't eat of that tree? And you ate of it? Notice now, she's naked, beautiful. He enjoyed his wife. I'm sure they had sex many times. And he looked upon her and he realized, there's a separation of us. She's different. Do I stay with God, or do I stay with my wife? There was a tug. And Adam was spiritually immature. And he saw the wife. He said, I want that. I don't want to lose that. So he said, okay, give me one. He ate it. And he died spiritually as she had died spiritually. Amen. Satan said, hey, God, so much for Adam and Eve. Okay? That's deception. Now, if you turn to Revelation 12:9, and you might ask now, you know, what in the world, why did God allow that? And I just want to shoot this in. If you and I were to create a paradise, perfect place, we would put in only good stuff, right? So why did God put in a tree and said, you cannot eat of this? Why did he do that in the middle of the garden? Because, you see, you got to remember this. There was life before Adam and Eve. Now, if you're a good conservative Christian, you've been told that God created the earth, heaven and the earth, in 7 days. Well, Genesis chapter 1 is a story. There are two stories in there. You have the creation, and you have the recreation. Some of you might say, wow, isn't that blasphemy? Let me tell you something. We know this. That the surface of the earth once was at the bottom of the oceans. And we do know that the ocean floor is one for the surface of the earth. The Bible tells us that God in his rebuke spoke and he moved the surface down and moved the surface up from the oceans. Why? Because the Bible says that prior to Adam and Eve, there was a civilization on this earth. There were kingdoms, cities, people, commerce. It was a complete setup of a very advanced civilization. Who were the people? We don't know. The Bible doesn't say. Where did they go? We don't know. Some people say they became demons. We don't know. But there was a civilization prior to. And let me read, let me keep here yourself in Revelation 12, but let me go back to Genesis chapter 1. And I want you to read this here from verse number 27, 28. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created him. Male and female created them. And God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. That indicates that something had been lost. They were to replenish it. Now, most creationists that say 7 days, they don't really think about that. But to replenish the earth, have dominion over it, of the sea, of the fowl of the air, of every living thing that moves upon the earth. So we had a civilization before. Now, in Revelation chapter 12, we're going to go to verse number 9. We read this. And a great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil, and Satan. Which deceived the whole world, he was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Just a fast review here. Satan was named Lucifer. We're going to talk about it in a few minutes. He was a good angel, and he rebelled. There was a war in heaven. He was captured. He was taken to court. There was a trial. He was sent to the lake of fire. And Satan simply said, I cannot understand. How can a good God cast his creature into eternal torment? All angels heard it. The holy ones and the unholy ones. God stood before his entire creation. Every eye riveted on God. Is it true that a good God can cast his creatures into everlasting torment? It created doubt. Satan's a master. It created doubt in the minds of everyone. And in order for God to move on, he had to settle this. And he simply said, sentence temporarily suspended. While you have on appeal, I will create another race. I will put them in a perfect condition. And I will prove through that race that I am a righteous God. If you understand that, you understand why things are happening. Right now there's a trial going on, and this is Bill Cosby, is accused of having drugged and raped a woman, that many women is accused of. And if you follow the trial, I'm not following day by day, I'm just reading about it, you will find that he has already in a civil court before had simply admitted, yes, I drugged women, I had sex with them, but his line was this, I get into drugs so they could relax. Apparently he wants to have violent sex. So he admitted that. Now the defense attorney is not going to deny he said that. but he's going to rip to shreds the person that was raped. He's going to try to prove that she's a bad person, she's a liar, she's no good. They dug up every piece of dirt they can and throw it at her so the jury would say, oh, that's a bad woman. She's a liar. Bill Cosby, you are acquitted. Same thing happening with Trump, President Trump, and all the others. When you have these different court hearings and the committee hearings and so on, they try to dig up dirt. That's Satan. Deception. So let's go back now to outline. I want to go now to Ezekiel chapter 28. There's the book of Ezekiel chapter 28. And we're going to read about Lucifer. That's chapter 28. So we know now that Satan does not have a physical body. I'm talking about the physical, spiritual, spirit, angel body. Ezekiel 28, 18. You have defiled your sanctuaries by the blood of your iniquities, by iniquity of your traffic. Therefore I bring forth a fire from the midst of you. It shall devour you, and I will bring you to ashes upon the earth in the sight of all them that behold you. I want you to catch this in there. All fallen angels have maintained their angel bodies. Satan has not. He now basically is a spirit without a physical angel body. That's why he could move into the snake. That's why he could move into Judas Iscariot. And that's why he's going to be able to move into the Antichrist and possess him. Fallen angels cannot possess a human being. Demons can, because they are disemboweled spirits. They do not have a physical spirit body. They're just spirits. So Satan now came to the garden in the form of a spirit. He seduced the serpent and got into his body. Let's go back to Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3. And when you read the Bible, you're going to have some logic when you read it, and the Holy Spirit will show that to you. This leads us now to the conclusion that the first living creatures of the earth, which Satan seduced, was a serpent. So Satan now seduced the serpent, who also had a free will. He could have simply said, no, I'm not going to let you in my body. This is my body. This is what God has given me. You're not going to come in here. What the devil told the serpent, we don't know. But I'm sure he sold a song and a dance. And the serpent said, yeah, I like whatever you offer me. Remember this. Used car salesmen offer you nothing but lies. A lot of people are selling products is nothing but lies. My wife and I were in this store yesterday, and she wanted to buy some bread or something without sugar. She wanted it done naturally. So they had a section and said, sugar-free. So I came over, and the manager was there to talk to her. And I said, so what is it sweetened with? Splenda? Aspartame? What's it sweetened with? He said, read it. He said, corn syrup. That's the worst thing you can have. I mean, it's deadly for your body. So I said, why don't you have better products? He said, it costs too much money. We cannot sell the product. If we put good stuff in a product, people want to buy it. So he said, corn syrup is the cheapest they have. I mean, it's dirt cheap. And they can simply say it's sugar-free. He said, that's all we got. I said, what do we do? He said, you got to go to an upscale store. And they have products there. But then he smiled and said, is it worth the money to spend that much to get that? Well, you could have this. I said, thank you, sir. Keep your stuff. He walked out. Now, because the serpent chose to sin, he was punished, cursed by God. He lost his legs and was forced to crawl on his belly. Now, I want you to read, wait a minute, Genesis 3, 14 and 15. And the Lord said unto the serpent, because you have done this, give your body to Satan, you are cursed above all cattle, above every beast of the field. Upon your belly shall you go, and dust shall you eat all the days of your life. Now, if the serpent had not any guilt, God would not have punished him. But the serpent had a free will. What happened in the animal world is simply this. When Adam and Eve sinned, the entire creation on earth fell into sin. We read in the Romans that the whole creation is groaning. So the animals fell into sin, the birds and so on. And you can see that death is reigning today. Animals, if they kill, they don't have a soul. They're not be punished for that. But prior to the fall, animals did not kill one another. In a thousand-year kingdoms, it's going to go back to pre-paradise. No killing. And I put enmity between you and the woman. Between your seed and her seed, it shall bruise your head, and it shall bruise his heel. Jesus crushed the devil, and Satan stung the heel of Jesus Christ. We have not traced the origin of sin back to Adam and Eve, but sin had not ridden it with them, because it was already present in the devil. So now we've got to examine where does sin come from in the devil. And we begin now by turning to 1 John. That is 1 John chapter 1. If you read the following verse here. Verse 5. This then is a message we heard of him and declare to you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. God is pure good. The Bible says God cannot lie. God cannot do anything that is bad. God is a good God. God does not create evil. When he made the creation, he didn't create evil and good. To those of you that are older, they had a game called Dungeons and Dragons. Now they have video games similar like it. But you have in there good and evil, and there's a fight between them. But when God created the universe, the angels, he created everything good. And he gave all the living creatures a free will. We have a will. Logic would therefore dictate that God did not create evil when he gave the orders for the creation of the universe. This brings us to another question then. What do we do with a passage in Isaiah that states that God creates evil? So let's turn to that. That's Isaiah chapter 45, verse 5. I am the Lord. There's none else. There's no God beside me. I girded you, so you have not known me, that they may know from the rising of the sun and from the west that there is none beside me. I am the Lord, and there is none else. I form the light, I create darkness, I make peace, and create evil. I, the Lord, do all these things. Wow. What do we do with that scripture? to evil God creates is judgment. Turn with me to Deuteronomy chapter 28. You see, God has simply said this. If you sin, there are consequences. Before the creation started, and God was preparing things, he created the lake of fire. Because he knew in advance that Satan would sin. So God created this place. The place is not evil. It is simply a place of judgment. God is simply saying this, I give you a free will. If you use your free will to sin and go against me, I have created a place where you have to go. Because sin cannot be tolerated. You have to go to the lake of fire. That's the judgment. God created that. In Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse number 58, we read from there, we read the following. God is speaking now to the people of Israel. If you will not observe to do all the words of this law that are written in this book, that you may fear this glorious and fearful name, the Lord your God, then the Lord will make your plagues wonderful, and the plagues of your seed, even the great plagues, and long continuance, sore sicknesses, and long continuance. Moreover, he will bring upon you all the diseases of Egypt, which you are afraid of, that should cleave unto you, and every sickness and every plague, which is not written in the book of the law, then will the Lord bring upon you, until you be destroyed. And you should be left few in number, whereas you were as the stars of heaven for multitude, because you would not obey the voice of the Lord your God. And it should come to pass that as the Lord rejoiced over you to do you good, and to multiply you, so the Lord will rejoice over you to destroy you, and to bring you to naught, and you shall be plucked from off the land, where you shall go to possess it. Let's look upon that last verse. God is love, yes, but God is also God of judgment. And here's what God is simply saying to us. When I love you with power, with everything I have. But if you reject me, I will hate you. And I will rejoice in simply harming you. That's God creating evil as judgment. Now, you don't hear Joel Osteen talk about this. His audience would simply faint if they would tell him that. They would say, well, that can't be. But God is a God of justice. He's a God of judgment. He's a God of love. He gives us a free will. You take a young man, a young woman, and they defile their bodies. Their bodies get sick. They get venereal diseases. It's all kind of different things. And particularly, if you look upon movie stars, women, and look upon them when they get to be about 60 or 70 years old. Because of all the cosmetics, all the facelift and so on, their faces look like a dried raisin. They look horrible. When I was a young man, Brigitte Bardot, the French sex idol, was on everything. I mean, no, she was just it. And you saw her beautiful body and the face and so on. You look at that woman today, and you know, you don't even want to touch it with a pair of pliers. You look horrible. She simply reaped what she was sowing. So what I'm going to say is this to you. If you want to sin, God says, fine. That's your choice. I'll let you sin. But remember this. You will pay. And when I paid my payments, he said, I would collect my payments. And I would, instead of loving you, I will hate you. I will make sure that you pay every dime, every cent that you owe me. We need to understand that. Galatians chapter 6 says, God is not mocked. Whatever man sows, that should he reap. Let me read that so I get it straight. Galatians chapter 6. Be not deceived. God not mocked. For whatsoever man sows, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth his flesh, shall the flesh reap corruption. For he that soweth to the Spirit, shall the Spirit reap life everlasting. So we need to warn people. Now, there are things in my life that I did over the years that were wrong. I made mistakes. I made the wrong decision. It changed my life. There were things that God had planned for me to have. I never did get it. I will never get it. It's past. I'm forgiven. I'm on my way to heaven. But there were losses. And in every one of our lives, you can look back and say, if I would have known when I was 15, I would have taken a different road. You know, we get so wise after we've been hurt. And we look at the young people and we tell them, you know, don't go down that road. And they say, oh, you old foggy, you know nothing. This is a new time, man. We are in the technical new age, you know, we got all this stuff, you know. You don't know nothing. Well, I come back to you when you're about 60 years old, and I'm going to say, did you learn something? Oh, man, did I learn something. Oh, God, what was I stupid? Well, during the generations, since Adam, we've done the same mistake every generation. Every generation think they're so smart, and they don't recognize how stupid they are. We are stupid as a race. Going back now to my outline, we can therefore conclude that sin originated with the devil. He was created as a beautiful and powerful cherub, and there was no evil initially present in him. No evil was present with him to begin with, but he had a free will. Turn back to Ezekiel now, chapter 28. That's Ezekiel, the 28th chapter. And we're going to pick it up in verses 11 through 15. Moreover, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, take up a lamentation upon the king of Tyrus, and said to him, Thus is the Lord God. You sealed up the sum full of wisdom and perfect of beauty. You have been in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was a covering of it. Your sardis, the sardis, topaz, the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, the jasper, the sapphire, the emerald, the carbuncle, gold, the workmanship of your tablets, and your pipe were prepared in you the day that you were created. This goes back to the Garden of Eden. How's that possible? Well, you see, prior to Adam and Eve, in a previous civilization, the Garden of Eden was the capital of Lucifer. That's where he was reigning from, traveling from there to heaven, leading worship and going back, was the king of the earth. You're the anointed cherub that covers. I've set you so. You worship on the holy mountain of God. You walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. You were perfect in your ways from the day that you were created till iniquity was found in you. He was perfect. He had no sin. What happened? If you read on in Ezekiel chapter 6, verse 16 and on, but the multitude are your merchandise. They fill the midst of you with violence. You have sinned. Therefore I will cast you as profane out of the mountain of God. I will destroy you, covering cherub, for the midst of the stones of fire. Your heart was lifted up because of your beauty. You corrupted your wisdom by reason of your brightness. I will cast you to the ground. I will lay you before kings, that they may behold you. Now, the moment Lucifer said, I'm not content. I'm not happy. I don't like my situation. Turn me to Isaiah chapter 14. Isaiah chapter 14. Have you picked it up in verse 12 here? How you've fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning. How you cut down to the ground with the weaker the nations. For you said in your heart, I will ascend to heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit upon the mount of the congregation in the sight of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet you shall be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. The moment Lucifer decided, I'm unhappy, I'm not content, I want to be above God, he had a free will. At that moment, his inside was corrupted, and he became hateful, full of evil, a destroyer. He went from being good to bad. It was a corruption. Let me try to illustrate that. You did a chapter today, took a shower this morning, so you put a little bit of stuff on your armpits, it smells good, slicked down your hair, so on. And you know, we smell pretty good. We look pretty good. But do you notice that the moment your heart stops and the blood stops pumping and your body dies, there are germs inside our bodies that will begin immediately to break down our bodies. At the second and third day, we're going to stink. Nobody has to dispose of our bodies. They are self-disposable. The moment you die, your body dies. This body decays. There's germs inside our bodies. When the life power goes out, they take over. And in about a year, if you're not cremated, there's no flesh left on you. All you got left is bones, hair, your nails. Give it 500 years. You can't even find your bones. Withered. That's how God built us. That's how Satan was built. That when he sinned, when he got discontent, corruption, he died spiritually. Corruption took place. And instead of being good and beautiful, he became horrible. He still looked good. He was still beautiful. He still maintained his wisdom. He had all that power. And he used his good look, wisdom, to entice the angels to fall with him. At the trial, he was burned. When you sin, something is corrupted in you. And there's a destruction beginning. Let's turn to Revelation chapter 12, verse number 7. And there was war in heaven. Michael's angels fought against the dragon. And the dragon fought with his angels and prevailed not. Neither was a place found anymore in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil. And Satan would deceive the whole world. He was cast out into the earth. And his angels were cast out with him. Lucifer, corrupted, contaminated. He deceived one third of the angels. They got corrupted. He came down to earth after his trial, and he deceived the serpent. He was corrupted. He deceived Eve, and she was corrupted. And Eve deceived Adam. He was corrupted. Did they die after they ate the fruit? Their bodies did not die, but their spirit died. They died spiritually. We do not know how long Eve lived, but we know Adam lived for 900 years, plus or minus. And then his body died. And when you and I are born, we have a sinful nature that I'm going to be talking about next week that is corrupted. And we have already fallen. When a sperm and egg come together and the soul is put in, at the moment that soul hits that new cell, the soul is corrupted. When the spirit that God creates hits that cell, the spirit dies. God does not create dead souls. And we are born in sin. You don't have to teach a baby how to sin. Give a child time to grow up, and they will naturally lie. They will naturally get angry. They will fight with their siblings. They will mouth off at the parents when they get older. And some, when they get up in their 20s, will simply look down upon our parents and say, you know, you're no good, man. I'm out of here. And they will despise you after all you've done to them. You know why? Because a sinful nature took over. They got corrupted. And every one of us can get corrupted further. And we need to keep the sinful nature in control, which you do through Christ. Let me take you to Romans chapter 5. That's Romans, the 5th chapter. Romans chapter 5. And we pick it up here in verse number 2, Romans 12. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for they all have sinned. For the law of sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned, after the symptom of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come. So Adam has a transgression. Eve to Adam, and you and I are suffering today. I think if Adam repented of his sins, he's going to make heaven. I don't think he would like to meet his family. I think when Adam, if he comes to heaven, and we would all look upon him and say, Adam, what's wrong with you, man? He said, I don't want to talk about it. I just want to hide over here someplace. He doesn't want to meet the family. We are his family. And he blew it. It cost us heartache and tears. And the majority of the family is in hell today. The majority of the family will be in a lake of fire someday. Most of the family will not make it. That's terrible. Turn to Ephesians chapter 2. That's Ephesians chapter 2. Now you're getting information here today that will help you to make decisions. Remember, I'd start talking about disinformation. Now you're getting some true information. In Ephesians chapter 2, we're going to pick it up from verses 1 through 3. And you have the quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, Where in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now works in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had a conversation in time past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. So remember this. When you get married, you have children, beautiful little baby boys and girls, remember this. Give them time, and the ugliness of sin will show up. That's why we need to lead them to Christ early, so that they will have a born-again spirit. We need to feed them the Word of God. We need to give them nourishment so they can fight the sinful nature and suppress it. When are we going to lose the sinful nature? When we leave this earth. But until that time, it will always be with us. You know, let's be honest. You and I, we haven't robbed any banks lately. We haven't shot anyone. We don't steal anymore. But you know what? It's hard to control our emotions. Anger, resentment, offenses. You know, just feeling bad. Like they did this to us, they did that to us, you know. That's how we sin. I cannot forgive that person. I'll never forgive that person. That's a sinful nature. It's really hard to be Christ-like. When somebody whip you like this, do you in, do you dirty. I mean, they were your friends. They were with you a long time. And then they turned on you. It's hard not to get angry, hateful, having revenge. Those are the things, the more close you come to Christ, these are the one things that you have to fight all the time. Depression. Where's God? Well, I'm not healed yet. When is God going to heal me? When is something going to happen? And Satan says, yeah, go on, ask God. What's wrong with God? Don't you see that? He doesn't care about you. He doesn't love you. I mean, the demons are on us all the time, trying to break us and destroy our faith in God. Let me take you quickly to Genesis chapter 4, verse number 1. At Genesis. So, you know, I'm sure when Adam and Eve got the sons, as all little babies, hi, Abel. Hi, Cain. How are you? And this little boy just walked around. They got older. Here's Cain, murdering his brother. Verse 3, in the process of time came to pass that Cain brought on the fruit of the ground of offering unto the Lord. And Abel, he also brought to the firstlings, and his flock, and on the fat thereof, and the Lord had respect unto Abel and his offering. But to Cain and to his offering, he had no respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said to Cain, why are you wroth? Why is your countenance fallen? If you do well, shall you not be accepted? If you do not well, sin lies at the door. And you shall be his desire, and you shall rule over him. And Cain talked with Abel. Notice now, same thing as with Lucifer, same nature. You and I have the same nature as Lucifer. Remember that. And Cain talked with Abel. He something said, hey, Abel, let's get out there and have a little walk. We're going to talk, you know. And Abel just happy say, yeah, brother, come on, you know. Abel picking up a rock and you, bam, smash his head. First murder. And Cain talked with Abel, his brother, and it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and slew him. Isn't it? Notice this. Cain knew what he was going to do. He didn't want Adam and Eve to be there. He didn't want, you know, he simply said, hey, Abel, you and I go alone out here, and then I would cream you. Isn't that how they do murder? You know, sometimes I shoot you on an open street, but most of the time, you know, they lure you away. The first sin. And they got contaminated. Then if you turn to Genesis chapter 6, if you pick it up here from verse number 1. And it came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born to them. Then the sons of God saw the daughters of men, they were fair. And they took them wives of all which they chose. And the Lord said, My spirit shall not always strive with man, for that they all his flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. There were giants in the earth in those days, the fallen ones after that. When the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men, and they bare children to them, the same became mighty men, which were all men of renown. These were half fallen angels and half human beings. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, that every imagination of the thought of his heart was only evil continually. And he repented that the Lord had made man on earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man, whom I created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, and the creeping thing and the fowls of the air, for it repents me that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And then we go down to verse number 11. The earth was also corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. And the only way that God could remedy this was to kill them all, except 8 people that he saved. I want us to close in 1 John. That's a bonus scripture for you. I want to go back to 1 John. So let me just say this to you. You and I have a disease called sin. It's contagious. It's like a bad virus infection. We are infected with sin. We are born that way. Now, just like with AIDS, with years, they come out with different chemicals that can suppress the AIDS virus. And the different viruses. So people with AIDS today can live and function. They don't die right away. They can live by suppressing AIDS. The blood of Jesus is our medication. The blood of Jesus will wash us. And we can suppress our evilness. We can suppress the ugliness in us through the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. In 1 John chapter 1, we read this. Have you read this again? And these things write unto you that your joy may be full. Notice that. John says, I'm writing this to you because I want your joy to be full. This then is a message which you heard of him and declared to you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he's in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Now I wish you all could speak Greek, like Soteris. Because the Greek had tenses of their words, verbs. And I'm going to show you here, just to tell you what the Greek really says there. It says this, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, continuously continue to cleanse you. The best picture I can give you is this. Picture a giant washing machine. Picture yourself getting in that washing machine. Closing the door. They turn it on. Here comes the blood of Jesus. And you are in that washing machine, continually washed by the blood of Jesus, day and night, as long as you live on this earth. That's what the blood of Jesus does. That's why we have power to simply say, no, I don't need that drink. I don't have to smoke that joint. I don't have to lay with that woman. I don't have to lie. I don't have to steal. In my follow-up, I have a slogan. It says this, I don't have to sin. It's a choice. I don't have to sin. But we all have a fallen nature. Now, to those of you in the chapel, we are cordial to one another. But you know, let me ask you this. We don't know this, but I want you to think about this. How faithful is a guy sitting next to you? How far would he go before he rejects you? If you crush somebody here today, you say the wrong thing, you get somebody upset, how much can they take before they write you off? And you says, I'm out of this church. I'm out. I'm walking. I had enough. How much can we take? How faithful are you? The Apostle Paul was stoned. Beat them with rods. They lied against him. They brought him to court, kangaroo courts, trumped up charges, threw him in jail. You know what? Paul looked upon Jesus. He looked upon these people around him. And he simply said in his soul and spirit, Jesus, I love you. I love you. And I love these people. I love them so much. I want them to get saved. I'm going to take this garbage. I'm going to give pumping out the gospel. What did Jesus say when I nailed him to the cross? He was laying flat on the ground. Took his hands, arms, and pressed them down, held them, and put big nails through the hands. And nailed them. What did he say? Father, forgive them. For they do not know what they're doing. They had disinformation. This is what you and I have. Now, today, I've given you truth. So accept it. We are sinners, saved by grace. We still have our sinful nature. We need to confess. I'm not perfect. I'm under construction. But are you willing to simply ask yourself this? How much am I willing to take? How much am I willing to forgive? How much am I willing to minister to people, even if they are not nice to me? That's the question I want you to answer for yourself. Because, you see, it is easy to be a fair-weather Christian. Everything is going fine. Money in the bank, money in your pocket. You're healthy. Everybody loves you. Nice time, good times rolling around. Oh, man, everyone can be a Christian then. What if you lose your job? What if you're diagnosed with cancer? What about you diagnosed with Alzheimer's? And you say, oh, man, I hate getting old. And someone says, well, you just got a cataract. You know, you're going to lose your eyesight. That's a time for you to take control and say, I'm going to make a choice. Come hell or high water, I'm going to stand. Having stood, I'm going to stand. And I'm going to share the love of God until the day God calls me home. Those are the people that are overcomers. Those are the people God is looking for. The question is, are you one of those? Or are you one of these that will get offended and walk away and say, I can't take it any longer? To those of you watching, listening, if you're not saved and you say, you know, I'm in a bad shape. And let me tell this. We get letters from people. We do deliverances and so on. And I find out that, you know, there's a lot of sin going on. Bestiality. homosexuality, all kind of stuff happening. I mean, it's incredible the things that are happening behind closed doors. People get saved. They live with that. I used to get shocked. I don't get shocked anymore. But whatever you've done, God will forgive. King David was a murderer. He was a liar. Committed adultery. And God forgave him. You know, the Bible says that King David is going to rule in a 1,000-year kingdom out of Jerusalem over Israel. Not over the world, but over Israel for 1,000 years. A murderer. He stole someone else's wife. He's forgiven. Paul used to have Christians killed. He's forgiven. God said to you right now, it doesn't matter what you've done. I don't care how bad it is. If you're on a death row, if you're in prison, whatever it is, there's no sin big enough that the blood of Jesus cannot move down. And Jesus can forgive you and cleanse you right now. Confess your sin. Ask God right now to save you. And say, Lord, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. I want to be saved right now. Come on in, Jesus. And he will. When I'm done here, Charles Terrell will come. You're not going to see him, but hear him. And he will tell you step by step how to get saved. He will read scriptures to you. He will pray with you. And you'll be born again today. To those of you in the chapel, those of you that are watching, listening, how do you measure up? Don't compare yourself to other people. Compare yourself to Jesus. Can you say, I am more and more like Jesus? Or would you have to say, well, I got a few kinks in my life? Well, if you have, are you willing to straighten them out? Don't say, well, I know I got problems. That's not good enough. It's good to confess it. But if you have problems, then do something about it. Don't let it roll. Because sometimes you get a call. Body drops. You're on your flight to heaven. And you say, oh, God, I forgot to repent. And the angel said, don't worry about it. It'll be handled at the judgment seat of Christ. Just relax. They take care of it up there. That's the place you don't want to take care of it. You want to take care of it now and here. This is where you have grace. This is where you have forgiveness. At the judgment seat of Christ, there's going to be pain. You're going to pay. It's not a question about salvation. But I tell you what, there's going to be a lot of moaning and groaning out there. So right now, this is the time to repent. This is the time to change. And my prayer is, may God give you the courage to admit to yourself that I am not that great person. I can be pretty nasty at times. And I need to change. And I need to change now. Repent and have God forgive you. May God bless you. I still love you, regardless of what you've done, just like Jesus. Here's Brother Thomas.
Father God, thank you for this day, Lord, and the word that we heard here today. And we thank you, Lord, that we have the Bible. We would be totally lost without it. And in this age of disinformation, where it's information overload and multitudes of disinformation and lies, we can look to the Bible for truth. So we thank you for that, Lord. And we thank you for light shining on us to show our true condition. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Hello there, friend. You might have some questions about Christianity. There are many so-called Christian churches out there. So what makes a person a Christian? How do you get right with God? And how do you know when you die that you'll go to heaven? How exactly does a person get to heaven? Does God have a standard? And if so, what is it? What I'm about to tell you will be the most important information you will ever hear on this earth, and your decision will determine how you spend eternity. As you continue listening, I will explain. The bad news is this. When we are born into this world, we are automatically born with sin. Now you might think of yourself as a good person. After all, you're nice to other people, you give money to charity, and you try to live a good life. However, everyone has sinned and fallen short of God's standard. So it doesn't matter how moral, religious, or philosophical you are, you've broken God's commandments, and that has separated you from God. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Now you might say, "Well, I'm a good person. Doesn't that count for something?" Okay, let's take a little test. I'm going to ask you 3 questions. 1. Have you ever told a lie? 2. Have you ever stolen anything? Even something insignificant like a paperclip at work? 3. Have you ever lusted after someone of the opposite sex? Okay, how did you do? Most likely you answered yes to all 3 questions, which means you just failed the test. You see, these 3 questions are but 3 of God's 10 commandments. Failing just one commandment disqualifies you from getting into heaven and has condemned you to hell. This is why the Bible says in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." You see, God knows that we are all guilty of breaking His commandments. That's why He said we've all sinned and fallen short of His standard. But you don't have to be depressed about this. I do have some good news to share with you. In Romans 5:7 through 8, it says, "For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commends His love toward us in that, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." You see, God loves you so much that He gave His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to pay for the sin in your life. Jesus was more than just a good man. He was God becoming man and walking among us. That is why Jesus died on the cross. He took your place and paid for your sins with His shed blood so that you can have everlasting life. God loves you so much that He sent His own Son to pay a debt He did not owe, because you owe a debt you could not pay. Jesus bridged the gap created by sin between you and God. The Bible says in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." You see, there are 3 places we can exist in this universe: earth, heaven, and hell. So when we die here on earth, we don't just cease to exist. We will step out of our physical bodies and go to one of 2 places, heaven or hell. God did not send His Son to condemn you, but that through Jesus you might be saved and have eternal life in heaven. God's free gift to you is eternal life through His Son, Jesus Christ. That is why Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by Me." You see, God offers His love to you through Jesus, even though you are a sinner. This unmerited grace is not something you can buy or earn, but a gift from God. As you're listening right now and realize you're a sinner, know that God loves you and wants to save you. All you need to do is repent of your sins and ask God to forgive you. The word repent means to change your direction. You've been running away from God. Now it's time to start running toward Him. The Bible says in Psalms 103:12, "As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us." That means if you call out to God and confess your sins, He will forgive you. What Jesus has done in the past for others, He will do for you. If you call out to Him, He will answer you. He won't look down upon you because of your past, and there isn't a sin so great that it can't be forgiven. All He wants for you is to come to Him. He will help anybody who calls out to Him. If you have sin in your life, God still loves you. If you ask God to save you, He will do so. It is important to remember that talking to God can be done anywhere and anytime. You don't have to be in church to talk to God. He will meet you wherever you are. As you're listening to me right now, if you feel a conviction of sin in your life, that is God's Holy Spirit moving upon you. Friend, you need to repent of your sins right now and call out to Jesus. You might not get another chance. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. Friend, you need to make a decision today, one that will affect you for eternity. You have a choice. The road to hell is paved with good intentions, so act today. I would like to lead you in a prayer right now where you can ask Jesus Christ to come into your life and be your personal Lord and Savior. Now you might ask, what you just said, exactly what does that mean? Well, if you want to start anew and have your sins forgiven, Jesus is the way. There is no other way to God than through Jesus. I'm not talking about being religious. I'm talking about having a personal relationship with the God of creation who loves you so much and is just waiting for you to reach out to Him. That is what I mean by asking Jesus to come into your life and save you. Won't you pray with me right now? God, I confess that I am a sinner and that I need to be saved from my sins. Jesus, I ask that you would forgive me of my sins. I turn from them now and I put my faith in you. Come into my life and be my Lord and Savior. I believe that you paid for my sins on the cross through your shed blood, and that you died for me and rose from the grave. Save me, Jesus. I know I can't save myself. Thank you for saving me and giving me eternal life and a place in heaven with you. Help me to be obedient and to walk with you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you just prayed with me and asked Jesus to save you, you are now a Christian. You have become born again and are a new creation in God's eyes. The Bible says in Romans 10:13, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." You see, you're not saved because you might feel saved, but because you have called upon God and He has saved you. Now, as a way to grow closer to Him, the Bible tells you to follow up on your commitment. Spend time with God each day. It doesn't have to be a long period of time. Just develop a daily habit of talking with Him and reading the Bible. Ask God to increase your faith and understanding of the Bible. Also, find a local church where you can worship God and seek fellowship with other Christians to answer your questions and support you. Be sure they use a King James Bible if you live in an English-speaking country, and that the pastor teaches out of the Bible. Plus, don't forget to share your new faith in Jesus with somebody else. After all, if I didn't make this recording to share with you, how would you have heard the good news? Finally, please contact us and tell us about your decision. We will send you some written material that will help you in your new walk with Jesus. This is Charles Terrell with European American Evangelistic Crusades. May you grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever.
You have been listening to the weekly webcast of Pastor John S. Terrell. This message was the first part in the series, The Sin Nature of Mankind, and was entitled, The Origin of Sin. Some believe sin began when Adam and Eve disobeyed God and ate the forbidden fruit. But it is necessary to go back even further before the creation of humanity to the time when Lucifer was created. He was a beautiful cherub that led the other angels in praise of God. There was no evil initially present, but the goodness in him was replaced with discontent, which led to anger and hate towards God, and Lucifer chose to make himself into an evil entity. The other angels that opted to join his rebellion also became spiritually corrupted. People often blame God for creating evil, or allowing it to exist, but that is not the case at all. Being evil is a personal choice that everyone must make, and God cannot be blamed for your decisions. If God did not snuff out the devil, why would he behave differently with mankind? Following the expulsion from the Garden of Eden, Cain became so angry that he killed his brother, and the rest is history. So the next time this topic comes up, remember that Lucifer was the original sinner. This message is available on CD and DVD. When ordering, ask for sermon number 1603. There are several ways to contact our ministry. You can visit our website at eaec.org. There you can read insightful articles, watch or listen to a sermon broadcast, and explore the online store. The web address once again is eaec.org. If you prefer to write, address your envelope to European American Evangelistic Crusades, Post Office Box 166, Sheridan, California, 95681. That's Post Office Box 166, Sheridan, California, 95681. If you prefer to call us, the number is 916-944-3724. That's 916-944-3724. Resurrection Life of Jesus Church is sponsored by European American Evangelistic Crusades, and this has been a production of EAEC. Thanks for joining us today, and until next time, may God richly bless you as you read your Bible and walk with Him.